If you're here today for the first time or the first time in a while, let me share with you, we're going through a series called Families Under Fire. What we're going to talk about is difficult. We've been talking about difficult subjects, heavy subjects, weighty subjects. But when we recognize how our families are under attack, God's institution of the family and the church, the institution of the church, are under attack by society and by the adversary and his demons, some of these things, friends, just must be talked about. And so I welcome all of you today. I'm so glad to see you. I'm so glad you're here. But let me just disclaimer for you. We are in a difficult topic. But I'm glad you're here. Like I said last week, I'm glad you're here. And so I'm gonna talk about a topic today that's not often talked about in church. I've never talked about it before, and I've been a pastor, full-time pastor, 4.5 years. But as I have studied this topic, I have seen how it is affecting millions, tens of millions of Americans, millions of people in the church house, and I will give you some statistics that shows what I'm referring to in a moment. Let me set the stage for you just a little bit, and I recognize that some of these statistics are a wee bit dated, but bear with me, they're relevant even for today. As of 2003, there were 1.3 million websites in this arena that I'm referring to. The total industry revenue, this same arena, in 2006 in America alone was $13.3 billion in the United States of America. That's $34 million per day spent in this arena. United States of America, in 2005, we rented in videos and DVDs to the tune of 1 billion of these in this arena. And CBS News reports that hotel viewership of this subject in hotels, of every hotel across the nation, is 55%. In other words, 55% of everybody that checks into a motel is in this arena. And by now you probably have guessed this arena is pornography. You say, Jim, what in the world are we doing talking about pornography in the church house? Let me continue to share with you some staggering and sobering statistics. Why talk about it? Here's why. More than 70% of men from age 18 to 34 visit a pornographic site every month. 70%. And it doesn't end at 34. I'll share with you more statistics, and we know it doesn't end at age 34. But from age 18 to 34, 70% are on pornography on a monthly basis. That affects the church house. More than 20,000 images of child pornography are posted online every week. These are new images of children on websites every week. This is illegal, but it's happening anyway. 100,000 different websites in America alone that offer illegal child pornography. 100,000 of them. As of December 2005, child pornography in America was $3 billion. This is an illegal industry that Americans are spending billions. You say, Jim, so was it? Does it affect the church? Bear with me for a couple more statistics. I recognize this one's a little dated. In 1996, when Promise Keepers was so prominent around America, you know, you heard about it. Stadiums were being filled all over America, men going to Promise Keepers to make those 7 promises to their families, to their wives, to their children, to the church, to the Lord. They were filling stadiums all over America. In 1996, one particular one did a survey that revealed over 50% of the men in that Promise Keepers event were involved with pornography within 1 week of coming. Over 50%. So now we start to see a dynamic of somewhere from 50 to 70% of men are involved in pornography on a regular basis. Ladies, bear with me because we'll get to that statistic in a minute. But it is affecting the church, friends. It's not just somebody out there, somebody across the tracks. They're not the seedier side of society anymore. It's in the church house. In 2000, a Christianity Today survey revealed 33% of pastors admitted to having visited a sexually explicit website. There's other information on that disappointing arena as well, with pastors and clergy and church leaders. 30% of born again, according to the Barna Institute, 30% of born again adults in the United States feel it is morally acceptable to view movies with explicit sexual behaviors and activities. 57% of pastors, nearly 6 in 10, say that addiction to pornography is the most sexually damaging issue in their congregations. Nearly 6 in 10 pastors say it's the worst thing happening in my church. 34% of female readers of Today's Christian Women admitted to intentionally accessing internet pornography in a recent poll. And in another one, 1 out of 6 of every woman, including Christians, struggles with an addiction to pornography, according to Today's Christian Women. So we see the statistics somewhere between 20 and 34% for women, and somewhere between 50 and 70% of men are involved in pornography. You still say, Jim, so what? Does it affect the marriage? Listen to a couple of more statistics. 47% of families said pornography is a problem in their home, according to Focus on the Family's survey in 2003, and it's worse today. Nearly 50% of Christian families said to Focus on the Family, pornography is a problem in our home. So we start to recognize why Jim felt that this had to be talked about. When we talk about families under fire, when we talk about difficulties, when we talk about the devil tearing families apart, tearing marriages apart, tearing all manner of God's things and people apart, this is one of those contributing factors. The internet and internet pornography was a significant factor in 2 out of 3 divorces, according to the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers in 2003. And so when we start to hear these statistics, brothers and sisters, we start to recognize it affects the church. Parents, moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, listen to this statistic. 9 out of 10 children between 8 and 16 have viewed pornography on your internets. Most of the time, it's probably unintentionally. Pop-ups and all manner of things. Bear in mind what's happening on your computers. When you start to listen to Dr. James Dobson, when he talked about interviewing Ted Bundy, how did his mass murders all start? A long time ago, as a little boy, in pornography. Youth with significant exposure to sexuality in the media were shown to be significantly more likely to have had sexual intercourse by age 14 because of what our TVs and our internets are throwing out for your perusal. Let me give you a couple more statistics and we'll forego the rest of them. There's too many to talk about. 1 in 5 children between the ages of 10 and 17 receives unwanted sexual solicitations online. Your kids are online, 1 in every 5 will receive from somebody out there an invitation to have sex with them from an internet chat line or correspondence. Every 1 in 5 children. Know what's on your internets. It's imperative today. 2 in 5 abductions, almost 50% of abducted children between ages 15 and 17 are due to having first had internet contact. We see disappearing children all the time. Almost half of them start because of an internet connection. These statistics are staggering. No time in the world, in the entire history of the world, have we had this kind of bombarding from telecommunications into our homes. You remember the Fireproof movie and the Fireproof series? Some of you saw that. You know the damage that it can do. We sit behind this is my office, and I have a computer in there. We can sit behind there if we're not careful and let the images roll in. They roll into our homes. They roll into our libraries. They roll into our computers. Never in the time of history have we had this kind of exposure to so much indecent and obscene and horribly devastating material. Never in the time of history as right now. And it is affecting the church. Say what you want about TV or magazines or movies or internet porn, but it is killing morality in America. 13.3 billion dollars. And that's on the stuff that costs something. That's not to mention the free stuff that's out there all over. It's killing the morality in America and heavily, heavily influencing the church house. And so, brothers and sisters, God has put this topic on my heart a long time ago, and I've wrestled with it, and I've put it off, and I've put it off, and I've put it off. And finally, as we get into this series called Families Under Fire, I can put it off no longer because it is affecting people in the church. We remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, do we not? For a man to look after a woman lustfully with lust in his heart has already committed adultery with her. We remember those words. He's building in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, he that looks after a woman with lust in his heart. What do you suppose pornography does? Creates lust in our mind. Jesus said, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Dr. Ed Murphy, in his book, The Handbook of Spiritual Warfare, says this: pornography is not a victimless crime. It stimulates the imagination to commit mental adultery. It produces desires contrary to God's will. And if we remember nothing else, remember that. By viewing pornography of any kind, it begins to produce in us a desire that is contrary to the will of God. He goes on to say, pornography is a mind, imagination, fantasy game. It leads to the mental lusting after someone else that Jesus clearly condemned in Matthew 5:28. Dr. Ed Murphy. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians 5:16, if you would for me, please. It's not going to be on the big screen this morning because I'm reading from the NIV. So please open up your Bibles, or perhaps there's one in the pew or in the chair in front of you. Please refer with me to what Paul says to the church as he writes to the Galatians, and what he says to the Ephesians. We'll be turning to both those. Chapter 5, Galatians is first. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 16. Do we remember here just a couple, 3 weeks ago when Pastor Salek was here and he challenged us? He said, people of God. Do you remember that phrase he used? He challenged us. I'm challenging us here today with Paul's words. I'm saying, people of God, if you claim the name of Jesus, if you have been born again, you fall into the category, doesn't matter denominations, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are a child of God, and you need to be, as Paul says here, live by the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit of God. If we have invited Christ into our life, we've repented of our sins and invited Christ to come into our life, we have access to the Holy Spirit of God, to God the Father. Jesus is our mediator. And Paul says to us, not just the church in Galatians, he says to us in verse 16, so I say live by the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Because, he says, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are at conflict with one another. That is that spiritual warfare we talk about. That is a spiritual warfare we talk about on Sunday nights. That war between the adversary trying to pull God's people in one direction and the Spirit of God saying, no, people of God, there's a better way for you. Go in this direction. We are at war, and Paul says, let the Spirit lead you, or you're going to fall into this category of sin and let the adversary carry you away in the torrent, the river of life, and you're going to be led by your flesh versus led by the Spirit. Further, in 19, he elaborates a bit and says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debaucheries, which is excessive indulgences of all kinds of appetites and sensualities. He says, I've warned you, and this is verse 21, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we start to think, where have I found myself? Am I a Christian? Am I being flesh-led or Spirit-led? Am I not a Christian? Have I not been born again yet, so I don't even have the Spirit's help? Where am I in life what category am I falling into? Because if I have claimed the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, we should be led by the Spirit. Yes, there's going to be wrestling. Yes, there's going to be temptation. But remember what we said some time ago. We must say no to sin. We don't have to cross that boundary of sin. We can say no with the Spirit's help. We can resist because God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and provide you a way out to say no to sin. And Paul is simply saying, if that's our lifestyles, we either aren't born again, we're certainly not being led by the Spirit, because he said this is a very dangerous place to be. Friends, our churches are falling into sexual immorality, impurities, and debaucheries of every nature. The statistics show it. You're going to hear from me in just a minute about other pastors. Our churches have fallen victim and prey to the adversary's devices of destruction, and this one in particular called pornography. In verse 22, we see these wonderful things that he reminds us of when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and we all know that the first ones are love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and gentleness. We all know that, and then we get to the last fruit of the Spirit that says self-control. That is the will of the Father. Self-control. When we are led by the Spirit, he wants us to be self-controlled and led by his Spirit. Ephesians 5, turn in there for a brief verse or two. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Again, Paul is writing to the church, to the people at Ephesus. Ephesians 5, verse 1, he said, be imitators of God. It's easy to be imitators of the world. That's what we just come out of. If we've been born again, we've been come out of the world. If we've trusted Christ as Lord, we're not any longer part of the world, in the world and not of it. And so he's pleading with churches of this time. He's pleading with the American church today, be imitators of God. God is holy. And Peter reminds us, be ye holy because God is holy. And Paul is pleading with us today, be imitators of God, people of God. Verse 3, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Step out of the darkness and into the light, he said. You have been born again if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Say no to the darkness and say yes to the light of Jesus. Friends, there is victory in Jesus. Lest we think we are in this bondage and can never escape, there is victory in Jesus. And so we must surrender our lives to him. We must surrender our will to him. We must surrender those fleshly desires and say no to it and let the Spirit of the living God lead us so we don't continue to fall into this trap of the adversary. Bill Hybels of Willow Creek. I think some of you have heard of him, have you not? This would mean yes, this would mean no. Some of you have heard of Bill Hybels, who led the largest church in America for a bunch of years. It's not the largest one anymore, but it's down at Willow Creek, suburbs of Chicago. He wrote a book. It was entitled Christians in a Sex-Crazed Society, with shocking facts, with many stories of ruined lives, people in the church, ruined families because of pornography. The book says Reverend Hybels began to be awakened to the inroads of pornography when he began to counsel people down in the gutters of Chicago? No. When he began to counsel people in his church. People that were godly people, church members, church leaders, board members, committee leaders. When he began to counsel these people whose lives were being devastated by the bondage to pornography. Bill adds, one of the rudest awakenings of my life came when I began to research this topic. Because he admits in his book that years ago in the 70s when he was a young person, he used to flip through the pages of whatever. I don't know if he said or not. Well, we would call it soft porn today. And so that's what he thought we were talking about when he was referring to all these godly church folks being in bondage to this. And then he began to research this topic. And he began to inquire, and he began to read, and he began to go downtown, and he began to ask undercover police officers of all these things that are going on. And he was appalled, and eyes awakened to a whole new gamut of pornography that is so vile and so violent and so destructive. It is tearing apart marriages. It is literally killing our children. Here's what he found. Porn has dramatically changed for the worse in the last 30 years. Pornography is addicting. Now, I know the wrestling match that's going on in your mind. You can say, Jim, you don't know what you're talking about. I can view it a little here, a little there. It's not that addicting. I can handle it. The adversary has an agenda. And if you will start by looking at a little pornography once in a while, he will grab you. He will grab you with his talons and he will draw you in. And pretty quick, it's just like the methamphetamine addiction or the tobacco addiction or the alcohol addiction or the heroin addiction. It reaches out and it grabs you. You must have more. Pornography is addicting. Do not suggest to me or to yourself that I can take it a little, Jim, and I can draw the line. Do not go there. The adversary is far more clever than you think. Pornography is extremely, Mr. Hybels found, extremely degrading to women. Just knocks the rug right under their feet. It just degrades them to the fullest. It's pathetic. He also concludes pornography undermines marriages. It's ruining marriages, even in the church house. He's concluded pornography is devastating to our children. He said in part of his book, there are more adult bookstores. You know, there's pornography on the shelves around. There's pornography on your TVs if you've got a dish. There's pornography on your computer if you don't even have to look. There's pornography everywhere. And then there's the bookstores. Adult bookstores, we so aptly name them. Hybels writes, there are more adult bookstores in America than there are McDonald's, showing and selling all manner of very troubling things, including movies, including the movie booth that is there, I guess, and all manner of things happened there. He sent an undercover police officer into one of these places, and he came back with reports of things happening in here, physical things happening and things for sale and all manner of stuff. He said they're not fit to put on the printed page. Friends, we might think it's affecting somebody else, but it's affecting the church house. Hybels says, I know that many married couples in my church view adult videos to add some spice to their sexual lives. I counseled a woman recently who is a leader in her church, and her husband is an elder in the same church. Heibel says, I've been counseling them for some time. The two of them began to use pornography as a marital stimulus some time ago, and today their marriage is in shambles. Pornography, he says, short circuits the nurturing, the caring, the loving, the tenderness, the serving. It short circuits all of that. It becomes nothing more than a vent, he refers to. It bypasses the words, you matter to me. It bypasses all the caring and the love. One woman in his church said that she had been trying for 20 years to recover from the damages caused to her by her brother when he began to view pornography at 12. She was 10. And she was the recipient of his actions and his aggressions from pornography. 20 years she's been trying to recover from those damages. Children, Heibels concludes, are victims. They fall prey to the sickening interest of many, many, many adults to exploit these little ones sexually and to even use them sexually. I'll close with this. You've heard enough. Reverend Heibels tells of counseling a young missionary couple who were home on furlough, home on leave. The missionary couple were talking to him about various needs in their lives. When the session was over, the lady tarried behind, and she said to Bill, she said, you know what, could we just have a private session tomorrow? And he said, yes, such and such is the time. So they have this private session the next day, and she says, quite frankly, I'm having difficulty in the category of sexuality with my husband. So he began to ask her other questions, and she began to share openly. She said, some time ago I was arranging his closet when I discovered some magazines hidden among his personal belongings. She said, I ordinarily do not look through his personal things. I just accidentally found these magazines, and when I opened them up, I was shocked to see they're filled with graphic pictures of very beautiful women totally naked. Listen to her heart now, because this is happening in millions of women's hearts in America today. I was stunned. I was stunned. I had never suspected he was interested in any other woman but me. You see what pornography does? You see the damage that begins? You see the walls that began to climb between a husband and a wife? She said, I began to sob. I began to cry. I was horrified. I never thought he was interested in any other woman but me. She concluded, they talked more about some things. She concluded, I have never enjoyed sexual intimacy with my husband since. That is in the church house. Michael J. McManus, who I referred to, I quoted just a couple of weeks ago, in his book, Ethics and Religion, says this. Between 1960 and 1985, there has been a quadruple rise in the number of illegitimate children. The number of abortions has tripled. The number of divorces has tripled. There's been a 100-fold increase in child molestation. And in my view, says Michael J. McManus, the reason for the rise can be traced to pornography. Pornography, he says, justifies taking off the restraints. It opens the doors to anything goes. I could tell you more stories about people that wanted to go on the missions, wanted to go in the ministry. They were hooked. I could tell you stories. Sherry and I listened to a pastor pour out his heart one time. He was hooked. He was leading a flock and hooked. You heard the statistic. 33% have admitted they've been on sexually explicit pages, even in the pastorate. Brothers and sisters, lest we think we are cagier than to fall into that trap, think again. The adversary is out to destroy marriages, he's out to destroy the church, and he will use whatever means necessary to do so. So whether we want to admit it or not, this issue of pornography is in the church, and at a minimum, it is affecting us. at a maximum. It is destroying us and killing, literally killing our children. Pastor Les said it so well here a week or two ago at a Bible study. Forefathers of a bygone era, like the John Wesleys and the George Whitfields and the Martin Luthers of our day, would not recognize the church today. We look just like the world. And as I read through the Old and the New Testament, I see a resounding message, brothers and sisters. We must repent. We must repent for allowing this scourge, this disease to infiltrate our homes, our lives, our marriages, and the church. We must get into the Word because you know what? There's victory in Jesus. There's victory in Jesus, brothers and sisters. We must get into the Word of God and let it minister to us, let it speak to us, let it lead us, let His Spirit lead us into paths of righteousness. If you are here today and struggling, this is a topic that most people are very, very closed about. But if you are here today, do two or three things. Number one, repent and seek the face of God. There is victory in Jesus and there is forgiveness of sin. Amen? There is forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. The blood has been shed on the cross for our wretchedness and our wickedness. Repent, therefore. John the Baptist shouted, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. If we have fallen into this scourge, then repent and seek the face of God. And if that is not enough, which typically it will not be, because it will be enough for God's repentance, but you will need more strength. Go on to your web pages and look up Focus on the Family. Get some tools. Send me an email. I will keep it completely anonymous. You must be accountable to somebody. Men with men, women with women, you must be accountable. You must remember what James said in James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Pray that you may be healed. We must be accountable. Men or women, if you're struggling in this, repent to God. Cry out to Jesus. Tell Him you need desperately His help. Send me an email and I will find an accountability partner for you ladies, or I will be an accountability partner for you men. We must pick ourselves up out of this scourge of pornography, and we must get back on the righteous walk with Jesus. The church looks just like the world, and God is not pleased with that appearance. God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. He said He expects His people to be holy people, not to look just like the world. We ain't fooling God. John Wesley did this in the 1740s in England when the Spirit of God was changing tens of thousands of people's lives from lost to found. They had struggles of all manner of kinds. Sexuality was one of them. John Wesley had people get in tiny little groups called bands and called societies to be accountable. They were asking each other these questions. Have you been tempted this week? And either I'm going to say, yes, I have, or I'm going to sit across the table, I'm going to lie to them and say, no, I haven't been tempted. Have you given in to temptation, he would ask them. They would ask each other, have you given in to sin? What will you do next week to prevent this from falling into temptation and to sin? And he would encourage them to read and pray, just like James 5:16, and be accountable. Friends, let me close with this. It's already time. Praise team, get ready. We're going to sing. If you have these things in your home, magazines, tapes, toys, CDs, seek the face of God on these matters. I would suggest if you've got pornography of any kind in your home, burn it. The adversary will use that tool to affect you. You may say, Jim, I can handle it. Don't think you can outfox the devil. If you've got pornography in your system, Repent of that. If you've got it in your home, get rid of it. Burn it. It is the tool of the adversary to draw you away from God, maybe even to destroy your marriage, children to grow up into who knows what. When you start to listen to stories like Ted Bundy, this is serious, serious stuff. This is not something to poo-poo at. This is not something to say, Jim, I can handle it. The adversary is clever, more clever than that. So friends, please, as I said last week, do not let culture shape you. Do not let culture dictate to you what your life is like. Let this shape you. Let this lead you. Let this dictate what your lives are like. God is holy, and He has an expectation for His people to be holy. Please do not let society and the devil tear down your families or you as an individual with pornography.